The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet. Don't forget to download our new Podcast One app.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday. I told you I had a surprise. The surprise is here, and I will get to it in just a moment. But first, listen up, because it's Valentine's Day, and it may not have occurred to you, but that special guy or lady in your life might love to save money. And if that's the case, how about saving hundreds of dollars on car insurance? Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It just might be the most rewarding thing you do today. Without further ado, at long last. Back from Kansas City, the Godfather. Say hello, Joel. I forgot about your walkout music.
This isn't my walkout music.
The fact that you like walkout music.
It's just so funny.
How long is it going to last? It's good. It's a good bit.
You got to get to the hook.
Okay.
It takes a second.
All right.
It's so funny.
It's painfully boring.
It's almost there. It's almost there. It's going to pop.
Worth it. You know what? It was worth it.
You gotta wait for the hook.
I stand by my premise that it was annoying, but it was worth it.
You gotta wait for the hook.
What'd she say there at the end? Reunited and it feels so good?
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. So here's what's up.
Oh, go ahead. Let's talk about what you want. Go ahead.
Of course we're gonna talk about what you would call a guest. So, you know, I had high hopes. I roll into town. I get a chance to see Miss B. She looks fantastic. The big house is beautiful. There's a new baby. She's just cool. She looks like she's pretty chilled out. There's a new truck parked in the driveway. I feel like I went to college. I feel like me and my best friend got in a fight right before I went to college.
My best friend and I.
And see, I'm a guest. You can't do that. So I go off to college, and college is 4 years. And even though I only been in Kansas for 7 months, it felt like 4 years. And I hear my best friend won the lottery. My best friend hit oil. He's got everything. Boom, go back. He's got the big house. He's got the beautiful wife. He's got the beautiful kid. Theroux still loves me. Everything's good. We're going to go do something today. I'm excited. I'm pumped. And you bring me to this dump. You bring me to this dump. You've made $3 million since I've been gone. It wasn't college, brother. It was 6 months, and you bring me to this dump. The only difference is now there's a camera. There's a camera. Haven't these guys ever seen how Joe Rogan runs his place? Are you kidding me? You've spent $150,000 in this place. And Jacob, if you ever talk on my microphone again, I will snap you up and drag you out. It doesn't matter I've been gone for 6 months. It doesn't matter I might never be back, okay? Do you think if I was gone for 8 months, a year, 4 years, and somebody's laying up with Miss H at the big house, I'm not going to snap and drag? Huh?
Snap and drag? Jacob, would you care to respond? Is there a rebuke there?
This is my mic right over here. Don't kill him with facts.
It was.
That's all I have to come back with.
When did facts ever become part of your welcome?
That's right. Okay, what's up, guys? I'm glad to be back. But again, Jacob, when a hot mic is on, that's what you do to it. Okay, you grab that thing, you shake it around, and you make it your B.
You just told him not to do that.
That was part of the bit.
Oh, okay. I loved it. Hey, welcome back.
I didn't just come in. Yeah. Did I think I was coming up here? Not 50-50. But if I was coming, I was coming with a bit in my pocket. Yeah,
now, I should tell the audience what you're alluding to there. So I never told you where you were going. I just said, hey, I'm going to pick you up on Wednesday morning because then I got to jet out to Mohegan, right? We got the Bellator Friday. So advancement, heavyweight tournament, right? Mitch Rione and Nelson rematch. So – you didn't know you'd be here. I mean, I'm quite impressed. That was quite a
There was another part too where when I got to the, if somebody was laying up top with Miss H, I'd do a snap and drag, and yeah, I think I'll just stop there and move on. Speaking of the Bellator tournament, I watched the countdown thing.
Okay.
And I saw Roy Nelson rooting for you. So if you pick Mitrione, you're a jerk.
Yeah, that would. I did not see that, but that's pretty cool. Hey, so here, let's back up a second. I mean, let's just start with the weekend. Romero Rockhold. Did you watch?
Oh, my God. No, it actually broke my streak. I do not remember, and prison doesn't count. I do not remember since Randy fought Randleman, which was my first experience in the UFC. Hey, Randy's down the street. He's fighting for the world championship. I think we got Lindland a contract by then or something. That was my first pay-per-view, and I do not believe I've missed one other than in the box since then. I did not pay for this. I told Ladd I'm not paying for it. I'm done, man. I am done. Romero should have never been able to fight. You miss weight. This is such a joke. So Romero, now first off, they're fighting for a phony title, that the other guy has a phony title, the guy that can't even fight. Okay, let's put a Band-Aid on that. Now Romero misses weight by, he misses weight by 2.5 pounds, but Then he does a little dance. He's got all sorts of energy with old Rockhold. He does a little dance, 2.5 pounds off the point. He's got 2 hours to make weight. Not only doesn't he make weight, he gains 0.5 pound. Okay? Then he says, oh, my God, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. This is what he says. This is what he says. Okay? This is when you punch me in the face. My body broke down. No, it didn't. No, it didn't, dude. You weren't sucking death when you were on the scale 3 pounds ago. So you just cracked, bro. You just cracked. Let's say he makes 300 grand. Okay. Yeah. He's gonna say, yeah, I don't want it. I don't want that $90,000 I'm gonna give the Rockhold. But then the fight's off. What you should have done, if you wanted my $60 UFC, you should have grabbed another 85-pounder. And said, guess what? You're fighting for the world title tonight, tomorrow. Rockhold or Romero, go home. Not only do you do that, he wins, and he almost kills the dude, which I've been saying, wait until that happens. Wait until somebody misses weight and then murders somebody in the cage. And see if then you effing idiots will change the way you look at this thing. So, no, I did not watch. Yeah, I went back. I didn't pay for it. I went back, I saw the, you know, him almost killing Luke. And then you give, then Dana comes out, and again, we can only speculate if that's true or not. Dana comes out and says, we're going to give Romero a title shot. That's just, I won't buy that one either. Now, as a fan, somebody's been paying, I've spent $100,000 on the UFC, if you count all the money I've spent in Vegas. You know, I think that's fair. I'm at my wit's end. I'm done, man. I'm done. You guys have to do something that makes sense. And having a cheater, because now what do we do? Now what do we do if Romero comes back? We can't trust he's going to make weight. He just missed it by 3 pounds. So we're gonna go do a whole song and dance and hope this guy that's notorious for cheating makes weight, doesn't cheat in the fight, and then what if he wins while he's going to cheat somewhere during the fight, and then afterwards, and this guy's a killer, guys. This guy Romero, he is a killer. You know what he's going to do afterwards? He's going to hug and kiss his opponent, which is like the most disrespectful thing you could do on the planet. Dude, you just almost murdered me. Get your hands off me and go on your side of the cage, because what I'm going to do is, since I just lost, I'm going to try to grab all my faculties together, not act like a child, and get out of here as soon as I can. But with you putting your arms around me and hugging and kissing me, it's kind of hard to do, okay? You just added insult to injury, fatty.
Interesting perspective. And surprised me a little bit, only in this way. Let me think about what you said. I do agree with a lot of the parts of it, particularly the ending. There is nothing more condescending than the winner going over to the loser. It's very, very condescending. And you see guys do it a lot, particularly when there's an injury, right? They hurt somebody. In this case, it was a knockout. And then you want to go over like you're checking on them when you're the one that just did. Man, just stop. It's an ass-whipping contest. It is what it is. You get over to your side, right? There's a reason there's a blue corner, a red corner. Stay in your lane. Let this one pass. But to the point of him missing weight, because this was a surprise for me as well. A guy that was a wrestler, I can't think of a time he missed weight. Can't verify that he never has. I don't know of one. As a fighter, I don't believe it's happened to him again. I agree with you that he had energy. I agree with you, him coming back to the scale a second time and having gained a half a pound. It was very off-putting. At that point, he can't become champion, and you do run into a big problem. When this is supposed to be the interim title fight, which the other side of that coin, it's a semifinal. Whoever wins here is fighting for the championship, for sure, right? That's one thing we do know about the interim championship. He's now going to fight the champion, as long as they're both able. So you run the risk of Rockhold losing, okay? If Rockhold wins, he leaves with the title. So now you've got your big title versus title, Hogan versus the Warrior that you wanted to do in the first place. If Romero wins, you got a mess. Got a big mess on your hands, because you now don't get title versus title. And the bigger story of that evening, the biggest story of that evening, was that Romero, had he done exactly what he did, same training camp, same opponent, same flight, same venue, same corner man, same every which way you want to do it, but makes weight, he's the world champion right now. And you can say interim world champion to try to be condescending. You put anything in front of it you want, it ends with world champion. He is not.
He makes weight, I buy the fight.
Yeah, he is not. And so you do run into a problem. I don't know that there has to be a rule moving forward that he doesn't then get. You can't undo what was done. He did beat Luke Rockhold. So I don't know. But I do tend to believe, yeah, if you miss weight, you're not getting the shot. Because, you know, it's the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It's that same thing. If he goes into this next fight and misses weight, which history is the best trajectory for your future, you got a real mess on your hands, because then you're going to hold the fight anyway. Imagine he goes out there and beats Whitaker. Now, he's not the champion, but is Whitaker? I mean, the answer is yes, because the paper says yes, but you see the problem? Got to have guys make weight.
I see the problem, but you tricked yourself. So you just described, hey, you know, you can't undo what's done. They're fighting. They're in the semifinals. The winner fights for the title. Well, the winner is fighting for the title, but the winner didn't make weight. So you grab KG, and he's, you don't reward Romero for missing weight. You cannot reward somebody for missing weight, and that's what's going on. Is Romero the best 185-pounder on the planet?
Maybe.
Maybe. But that old boy Whitaker, you know, you got to, and Whitaker, now see, we got another big problem here, because these guys were just fighting for an interim title. That the interim title that Whitaker won. Now they took it from GSP. Now Whitaker is the champion. He's the true champion, and he should be. But what if he can't defend the belt? It takes a while to come back. He had staff and chicken pox.
Right.
If he can't fight for 6 months, what do you do now? Do you have another interim belt?
Yeah.
Do you have Romero face KG or Chris Weidman for the interim belt? I think they need to get rid of the interim belt. I think now is a perfect time. They don't need it. I think they needed it at one time to build the population of fans. I don't think they need it anymore. And to a guy like me, it gets annoying. One after another, after another, after another. As a matter of fact, I was I would get rid of all the belts. I would get rid of all the belts because there's no real belt. There's no real belt. I mean, the best guy in Bellator is not fighting the best guy in the UFC. Ben Askren never got to fight for a 170-pound title. I think if Ben's in a room with T. Wood and GSP and a bunch of other cats, Ben's like, this is my room, you know. So I'm getting sick of the interim thing. I'm more than done with the missing weight thing. So, yeah, there you go.
That is very annoying. And, you know, if you look back over time, we have not seen guys rewarded for missing weight. Now, that doesn't make it a rule, and Dana's got the right to go, hey, there was some extending circumstance here, and I'm willing to look the other way. I heard some things could be true, but that Romero one had a leg injury of some sort, which stopped him from, you know, the movement. I didn't see anything like this.
It stopped him from sitting down in a sauna for 2 hours and losing 2.5 pounds. I'm, like, hey, just sit there.
I'm just offering you the other side. Apparently, he had a leg injury, and apparently, he took this fight on short notice, so they gave him a little bit of slack there. You were right, though. I mean, if you want to look back at precedents, if a guy misses weight, he misses his opportunity. And there's only one or two exceptions to that. And so I was a little bit surprised because that's not some huge drawing fight where you've just, you know, you got to make some exceptions. It's better for the good of the business. Romero and Whitaker, pay-per-view-wise, was a disaster of 2017. And so to look to run that one back is a little bit of a surprise to me. But who are the usual suspects there, right? You got Jacare. Well, they already fought, Whitaker and he. You got Weidman, it's always a good choice. KG's always a good choice. Is Weidman out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, for a bit, he's coming back from being hurt. I mean, KG's your guy. KG's your guy that
I agree with that.
Plus, that's guys that are going to be around for a while.
Yeah, and it doesn't draw any better or any worse than...
Well, placements everywhere. I mean, these guys aren't building stars. These guys are not building stars, and I guarantee the alphabet is looking at the $4.8 trillion that they paid for this company and said, how many times can we say the word Connor, you know, and hope something happens? They're not building stars. These guys getting hurt. You know, you had a really, really good fight coming up that I wanted to see, which was Holloway and Edgar. They're hurt. But to back up to your point, we've never seen anybody rewarded for missing weight. You take away his bonus. Obviously, Romero wins the bonus if he's eligible for it. So if he's not eligible for the bonus, he's not eligible to fight for the title next. It's real clear. Truthfully, when stuff like this is happening, this tells me Dana White has one foot out the door.
Wow. Wow. I need a second to digest everything you said because I don't agree with you. However, I don't know where I disagree with you. It's very hard after listening to you won me over to a lot of those things. And I do get so close to the trees, I miss the forest sometimes. So I always point back to history. Got to have some kind of a trajectory. And that is an accurate statement by us because we're both making that. The guys are not rewarded for missing weight.
Hold on. Did he not – when I told him I would snap and drag him, if he spoke on my microphone, did he really truly think that microphone got him away from the snap and drag?
Jacob?
Yeah.
I kind of did too. I kind of did too. That's not actually the microphone.
This is a completely different microphone.
Though the term snap and drag is something that I might keep around.
Are we talking about replacing here? Because that was never going to happen. You know
again,
that, right?
Again. We're talking about a simple snap and drag. Okay.
A simple snap and drag.
All right,
I think
all right.
It goes deeper than
I'm
that.
You were just teed up right there, and I'm thinking if this was real in crazy land and you spoke into that mic, I'd have to snap and drag.
Yeah, you did say something. To go back to the point, though, you did say something in that. You said, is Romero the best 85-pounder in the world? Maybe, and I agreed with you. And right after I agreed with you, I thought for a second, well, if the question is 85, the last time we saw him make 85, he lost, and that was to Whitaker. So he does have some climbing to do. Now, I don't get as married to those weights as some, only in this regard. Because you had made a point about, well, he could go out there and, you know, really hurt Luke. I think, you know, murder Luke or something. And on that part, I go, they do have a remedy to this. And the remedy is, you know, X amount of pounds, the commission stops it. But within X amount of pounds, then we've got this 30% clause, which Luke was happy to take. I don't know how much that is. I imagine Yoel got $250,000 for that fight. Now, it has to be the disclosed amount, not the backdoor amount. You only get a 30% of that. But I'm just saying, I'm offering to you, there is a remedy, and this is what it is. And then it is turned over to Luke. Do you want to do this, yes or no? Luke was a team player and said yes. So possible remedy there. And then I would also just suggest to you, when you are talking about a few pounds, if you are talking about safety, look at the heavyweight division. But they got gaps of 30 and 40 pounds pretty commonly.
Here's what I'm saying. And as a matter of fact, you know, I used to give Luke a hard time on this show because he's so arrogant and this, that, and other. And I was anti-Luke. And this week, there was an interview that came out with Luke. And Luke said, listen, this stuff's for real, okay? The difference between winning and losing is a half a second, okay? So if I'm arrogant or I'm a prick or I'm this, that, and the other, man, I'm just doing my job. I'm on point. I went away from that interview and I was like, he's right, man, okay? I mean, how many times have I told you it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong? If you think it's right, it's right. It's right. So I looked at that and I was like, you know what? I get that. He runs hot, and that's how he prepares himself. Well, the second your opponent does, how many times ever you've probably wrestled 2,000 matches, right?
It's probably a good guess.
Okay. I probably wrestled half that, maybe 1,000. How many times did either one of us ever wrestle somebody that didn't get on the scale at the weight?
Didn't make the weight.
Didn't make the weight.
Would never turn back over to the wrestler. Never. The referee steps in right there, matches off, the end.
Yeah, and so now, I don't think a 3-pound weight advantage is going to cause somebody to get killed. I don't think somebody's going to get killed, but I mean really, really hurt, and this is a good example, is how you're talking about Luke, and he showed you his heart on his sleeve. They made weight like they used to make weight over there. They made weight and squared up. They didn't have any early weigh-in. So Luke was drawn out, made weight, and they stuck a microphone in his face, and he was deflated. He was like, oh, my God, this guy didn't miss weight. It is a huge emotional challenge to deal with that your guy didn't make weight. This contest is no longer fair. This contest is no longer fair. Do I think it would have made a difference? I don't know, but I shouldn't have to know. I shouldn't have to know. Listen, you miss weight, you don't fight. Dude, there's another 185-pounder on that card. Guess what? You're fighting for the title. This isn't brain surgery, guys. There's the ones of us that were buying the card anyway, we were going to buy it anyway. You do something honorable like that, I'm going to buy the card, okay? So many fans don't know why this is a problem, because I'm obviously emotional about this. I'm obviously emotional about this because I've got friends still fighting. You, Jake, you know, we've got other guys coming up. It's not fair, and it needs to change. It needs to change. Why we just gloss over it over and over and over again, and we expect it to happen. Nothing changes. How do you miss weight for a world title fight? Name one time in the history of your knowledge, and you know boxing real well. Name one time a guy missed weight that you know of. I mean, I'm sure it's happened in a championship boxing match.
Can't name it, and I can't name a huge fight in boxing that was promised and promoted and one guy pulled out because he was hurt. And that has happened. I made that statement on this show before, and people find me on social media, and they all point out the same one. Not challenging that it hasn't happened. I'm telling you, I can't name one. It happened so infrequently that it went right over my head, and I missed it. And the point is, you know, this sport is plagued with wimps. It's not plagued with weight-cutting problems. It's not plagued with injuries. It's not plagued with any of those things, man. It's a bunch of fake tough guys. And that part of it does really annoy me. Now, I get your point, but I want to offer you this. I do not like that if a contract is agreed on and one guy breaks it, that the contest still goes. I don't like that, but I come from the same mindset as you with wrestling, where it's never turned over to the athlete. I was in this spot one time, and I can tell you the pressures that you feel. It was when I was going to fight Paulo Filho. He missed weight by 7 pounds. The pressures put on me to take that match anyway are fine, and I accept them, but I was surprised at them at the time. Now, I came from a pure sporting mindset at that time. This fight is off. Pin me, pay me, and show me my way to the airport. No. And this is where I kind of learned the lesson. And over time, as I have matured and learned more about the sport, I get it. We have another master to serve, which is the commerce. We have a television show where we have a signed contract with them. So, Chael, if you want to argue contracts, that contract matters too. And, Chael, if you want to get all high and mighty on your contract was broken, we have one with the fans who have bought tickets who are coming tomorrow to this venue that we paid for, and they're expecting this contest. So you want to talk about your contracts. There's still some existing. What do you say we do the fight? Okay, got it. But I do have to offer that to you as a pushback that on one hand, yes, I would love to see guys, and I firmly believe you cut one guy, you cut him, you're done. Nobody misses weight again. You send one guy home, nobody misses weight again. I firmly believe that. The other side of it is, if I start buying shows and planning weekends and going to destinations, Las Vegas by example, San Jose by example, I've got tickets, I've got it planned, I got my kid with me, I got time off work, I've got all of these things, and one fighter misses weight, I'm pissed, but the other fighter refuses the fight because, I'm mad. I'm mad either way. But I have to admit that about myself. You're not going to please me. I'm going to leave pissed either way this goes down.
All right. So I agree with you in terms of the show must go on. This, if it's not the fifth time on this microphone that I bitched about guys not making weight, it's real close. Okay? It's real close. That means, now we're going back a year and a half. That means it hadn't changed a bit. Nobody has attempted to do anything different. And it needs, we as fans need to say, hey, we don't want this anymore. It's wrong. It's real simple fix. The fight goes on, okay? Me and you are fighting. You miss weight. I get all my money, but I'm going to fight. I'm not fighting you. You're going home and you're not getting a penny, okay? You're going home. You're not getting a penny. I'm going to fight somebody on the card, whether it's for the title, whether it's for the who cares what it's for. But your point is you continue to fight, and now we're making a progressive effort at this. Don't tell me about nutritionists, and don't tell me about salt baths and my body breaking down and all that bullshit. Guys, make weight or go up a weight. It's real simple. It's real, real simple. Romero, Olympian, is he silver medalist? Olympic silver medalist. Okay, there's not a lot of athletic competition on this world that I have more respect for than that. Well, so should he. So should he. If he couldn't have made weight, he should have said, man, I'm not fighting Luke. I'm not going to go out there and decapitate Luke and then kiss him and tell him how great he is. Man, I don't know what Bible you're reading, soldier of God, but you're skipping some chapters, Cat.
Wow, line of the day. Good job.
Yeah, that just came to me, too.
Yeah, that was great work, man. I'm very impressed. I'm happy you're in here. Yeah, I have multiple thoughts on that, but I don't have any way to sew it up. I'd love to offer you a final analysis, but you do have multiple masters to serve, from your audience to your TV partners to your opponent. From the sporting aspect of it, I don't like it. I like the amateur rules. I've never seen it in wrestling. I've never seen it in NCAAs, a World Olympic. I've never seen somebody miss weight and those matches get canceled. And these guys are doing it for free. So it does greatly perturb me when a professional who knows about the match, only has one, no tournament, he can't show up and make weight.
Here, let me go this route with you. Okay. Let's say you're 3 pounds. Let's say this is a few years ago and Matt Lindland is your corner and Robert Follis is your corner. Okay. And you're 3 over and you've got 2 hours. What are the chances you don't make that weight with those two guys in? They're not going to let you drink anything. You're not going to be able to whip Lindland's ass at this point. So you're going in the box. Okay? You're going in the box. This sport, it's crazy. They just had a GoFundMe account, and apparently what the fighters do now is if they don't get enough corner tickets and they're going somewhere cool and they can't afford to take their guy, we should pay for them. The fans should pay for more corner guys. Well, there's really, really only a few things you need to do as a corner guy, okay? You need to get your guy on weight, okay? That's number one. You need to get your guy on weight. Number two, have some water and let him know what time it is. That's your 3 jobs as a corner man. If you miss weight, you fire everybody in your corner, okay? You fire all you idiots out there that think cornering somebody's really cool or really fun. How many? If your guys miss weight, go don't show up anymore. Okay, dude had 2.5 pounds. He already knew where the box was. He told me on the stage, I'm gonna go get in the box. 2.5 pounds. Would Lindland have got that weight off you?
Yeah, sure. No, it's a tough sell. Look, he didn't want to make the weight. I'm not going to make believe anything else. And as soon as somebody brings up my body's breaking down or health or anything, I mean that's the trump card right there. You got to just stop. I saw him the day before at the media. I saw him salsa dancing and smiling and moving, and he looked really great doing it. So no, he pushed out. I'm not make believe in anything else. And people do miss sight of this a lot. Fighters are more in the spotlight than anybody else for their weigh-in. But they are not the only ones that weigh in. So do the amateur wrestlers. So do the amateur boxers, for that matter. But they aren't sanctioned by the NCAA. I cannot tell you a time in my life that I know of anybody missing weight. It has happened. I don't know of it. I do not believe it's ever happened. That's a huge statement. I can't possibly be right about that. But I don't think it's ever happened at the NCAA tournament. They now weigh these guys in. To put in perspective for our listeners, the NCAA is 3 days long, the tournament. Do you want to know how many times you weigh in, Joel?
Three.
You weigh in every single day. So now you have amateurs that do not have contracts. They just have the spirit of sport and sportsmanship. You have guys who are making absolutely no money whatsoever, but they have a dream. And they follow through with it every time. Then you run into these grown men and women who are adults that are more than happy to pull out a trump card of my body was breaking down, but to add any kind of validity or credibility so that we can get on board with that and go, hey, man, I fully get that. They don't move up in weight. Now, if a guy misses weight because his body's breaking down and because he's got all of these damaging things that he wants everybody to boo-hoo for him for, and people do because, again, that's the trump card, somebody's health. They don't make them move up in weight, and the athlete does not offer to move up in weight, which begs me to the question, what's going to be different next time? And you didn't miss it last time, so what was different the previous time? If we're so concerned about health and whatnot, and we're going to go ahead and hang our hat on that, instead of just being honest, if a commission just came out and was really honest to go, look, we want 6%, and the governor says we need to do this, and it's a cool job. If they did that, okay, we're all done here. But because they hang their hat on this fighter safety issue, then you got to show me what was different before and what's going to be different in the future if I'm going to allow you to do it. Now, there is one commissioner, Andy Foster in California, who does have an answer to that question. And he's got an entire, I think it's a 10-step program for making weight. But part of it is you come in, so you weigh in on a Friday, by example. You come in on Saturday for the fight. He puts you on the scale. Now, you can weigh anything you want. Fight's going to go on. But if you're more than 10% the second day than you were at weigh-ins, the next time you return to California, you are not fighting at that weight class.
Okay, that wasn't explained to me that way.
Is that a great way to handle that? Do whatever you want. Not going to come back here. Yeah, it's really hard to argue around his logic. And I want to offer you one more thing, Joel, just since we're talking about this. Everybody is, or it's a very common topic with commissions of how do we solve this weight-cutting problem? I come from the school of you don't. These are grown men. You're the government. Stay out of their way. That's where I come from. However, if you want an answer to that, we don't have to do an experiment. We don't have to come down and sit down with doctors and do a whole bunch of fat and body tests and body compositions and percentage. We don't have to do any of that. We can just look to somebody else who has successfully ended weight cutting. And that happened in 1998, again, with the NCAA. And just to remind the listeners and you of how that works, people were cutting weight. Three people died. Nobody had ever died in the sport. Three people died in NCAA. And wrestling said, look, we're going to stop right here. Here's what we're doing. Weigh-ins are now 1 hour before the match. You will weigh in, and 1 hour later, you will get on the mat. And what that does is nobody can compete dehydrated. You just simply can't do it. So nobody will cut weight anymore. They have to be at a body weight that they kind of just, that's what they weigh. You know, maybe you hit a run, you get a few pounds off, but it has to be something where you can hydrate and compete to the best of your ability to pursue your dreams and earn points for yourself and your team in 1 hour. And it stopped weight cutting in its tracks. And if you want to do that in MMA too, because people always say, well, what if we just add 5 pounds to the weight? And the promoters go, yeah. Then everybody just gains 5 pounds and cuts five more. It's a wash. And the promoters are right. That is what happens. You weigh them in 1 hour before and you stick them in the cage, you solve your weight cutting problem.
Or you get rid of weights.
Okay.
I mean, you 180 to 205. I mean, look at what you guys are doing. Look at something has to happen. I'm just saying, well, you know what I said. I said it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm done with it.
You're listening to You're Welcome with JL Sonnen.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey, it's Rob Riggle.
And Sarah Tiana.
And you are listening to Riggle's Pit.
Yeah, and a ham horn. And we have a new podcast available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app. If you love the show, share it with a friend and leave us a rating and review.
Every Thursday, we're going to sit around and we're going to talk about the things that really excite us, like life, comedy, sports, a lot of sports.
Ourselves.
A lot of Sarah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you join us.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Well, let's just back up one bite just so we recap the weekend. Curtis Blades, Mark Hunt. You know anything about it?
It sounded like Hunt punched him up a little bit, and then Blades took him down for three rounds.
That's exactly what happened. Blades did what he needed to do. I was very impressed with Hunt. Hunt doesn't know how to wrestle. Shouldn't know how to wrestle. Didn't come from a country that wrestles. Didn't wrestle growing up. He's a kickboxer. So when he made his switch very late in life, right, Hunt did what Randy Couture did. He got into MMA at 34 years old, but he had this background in competition. It was just kickboxing. Right, Hunt could have been 35, 33. I don't want to hear about it. My point's the same, right? He got real later in life. Randy Couture, same way, 20 years of wrestling, but no MMA. 34 years old, gets into it, takes it all the way to the championship, in Hunt's case, to a championship fight. So he did it, but he did it with a different skill set. We have seen historically it's a little bit easier for wrestlers to make that transition. We don't see it with strikers very much. When we do see it, it's greatly celebrated. I'll offer you Maurice Smith. When he did, it took him all the way to a world championship and the Hall of Fame, but it was really a remarkable thing. The transition there is just not something we see as much. So when you look at Mark Hunt, you have a guy who decided he's going to learn how to grapple so he can go into MMA. Real rough start. I'll remind you of his 2 minutes and 31 seconds against Sean McCorkle. That was his debut. A lot of people thought we weren't going to see him again. Well, no, he went and worked on his skills and worked on his skills. So even against Curtis Blade, Hunt did some really good things with grappling. Ultimately, he lost the battle, but he did some things really well. I'll just give you an example. Curtis Blade is a collegiate champion. He's a JUCO champion. Wrestlers like you will understand the relevance to being a collegiate champion. We are trained to keep a man down. We are rewarded with a point if we succeed at keeping a man down. Well, Mark Hunt popped up. He pushed his hips forward. He hand fight. He turned. He got an underhook, turned into double under, exchanged the position. Now Blades chain wrestled and drug him back down. But I'm just saying, I watched Mark Hunt. The whole thing ended. He didn't get his hand raised. I had to keep reminding myself of that. I had to keep reminding myself Hunt lost because he did some things so well. But he did make the mistake, and we've talked about it before. If you go for the knockout, you are not going to win the decision. Every single time, no exception. If you look for the knockout, don't look for the decision because you're not going to find it. That's what happened to Hunt. There was nothing left.
So Hunt got blanketed. Does he – I didn't watch the fight, but again, it's Mark Hunt. I want to see him out there against Ngannou, against the Black Beast.
Derek Lewis. Just fought the Beast, to remind you.
I want to see it again. Wanted to see Baroni and Lindland fight every 2 weeks.
Don't blame you.
So we'll move on after, because you brought me here. I'll hijack your show.
Take it over.
Did you see the Hunt's training partner? They got all that push behind the heavyweight drinking beer out of the boot.
Yeah, hell of a performance.
The drinking the beer out of
the drinking out of the shoe. I mean, look, they liked it enough. They cut to it. I've never seen him cut to a guy's walk back. I've seen the walk out. I've never seen the cut back. So there must have been something there. But his performance, he was leading with a rear elbow You know, he was throwing that like the way you'd throw a punch. He was that is so hard to do. And people watch that on TV and think, oh, wow, an elbow. That was smart. Nah, that is so hard to do. And he did it repeatedly. I was really impressed with that guy.
I like the guy. Watching him, I only seen the highlights of this fight. First off, the beer drinking out of the shoe. He drank out of a shoe, and then they interviewed him. And they said, we usually have to drink out of a old dirty boot where they spit in. Then he said, welcome to Australia, which I thought was beautiful. I was like, okay, you're my guy.
And I found it disgusting, but you liked it. Okay, there's something there. For me, that was gross.
That guy's a cage fighter, but he fights like one, too. He fights like a big heavyweight cage fighter should fight, which is, I'm going to kill you, okay? Or you're going to do me. You know, that's what heavyweights should fight like that. Very rarely are you going to see a guy like Stipe that can do everything. I like the guy drinking beer out of a boot. Now you say you would. That's your. I'm going to give you.
Yeah,
line.
You would. Well, I don't mind. I mean, the fans seem to like it. I don't really have an opinion one way or the other. Other than I personally thought that was disgusting, which it is. It's beer out of a boot. It is a little disgusting. But does that mean there's something there? Look, I would never kick a guy when he's down, and you know that. But his opponent, I don't have any other way to say. I have no idea how he got in there. I mean, I don't have the foggiest idea. And I mean, they showed his warm up in the back. Somebody should have came in and said, hey, we're not doing this fight.
Okay, okay.
It was stunning. He was warming up in the back. It was stunning what you were seeing. And I think I want to leave it at that because now I'm being rude to a guy that just took a beating. But that was a weird one. That was kind of part of the card where you're going, okay, what's happening here?
All right. Did you happen to see the only time it's ever happened in the world? Yesterday, Kyle Snyder lost to Adam Kuhn.
Yeah, that was Sunday, but did you catch it yesterday? I did. I saw it when it happened on Sunday. So, Kuhn beat Snyder.
Oh, yeah, good call.
And, that was kind of earth-shattering news, quite frankly. I don't know that our listeners are going to know what we're talking about. We're talking about college wrestling. We're talking about the greatest college wrestler ever. Three gold medals, one of them in Olympics, and a year of eligibility left, and he went down. He went down to a college kid. It was surprising.
Well, if they don't, they could find a Google bar and Google Kyle Snyder.
Yeah. Kuhn's the real deal, though. You know, I'll remind you, Kuhn was second in the U.S. Open. Not a lot of guys get second in the U.S. Open as sophomores. He was second in the U.S. Open. It was in Greco-Roman. You know, he lost to Robbie. But, I mean, he can wrestle. As a matter of fact, is that true? No. You know what? I'm wrong about that. Kuhn won the U.S. Open. Robbie missed it. Kuhn won. He was U.S. Open champion as a sophomore and a double world medalist just on the junior level. I mean, Kuhn can wrestle. That's my point. Big upset? Absolutely. But probably should have been a little more hype going into that match. You got two U.S. Open champions from opposing styles in the same heavyweight class. There's something there.
Here, I'm gonna walk these guys through it because you are under the assumption, man. Nobody's God. No, I can't talk about wrestling. I'm the fan. I'm the fan of a show that if you tell me, hey, I need to go watch this, I'll go to YouTube. I'll pull it up. Guys, do that because what you're going to find is you're going to get a chance to see a guy you should know about. The Olympics are going on right now. You should know who Kyle Snyder is. You're going to know who he is in fighting at some point because once he's done racking up all his world championships, he's going to start beating people up. What else is he going to do? But you're also going to get to see Adam Kuhn come out and fight a guy. He fought a guy. That was a fight. That was a fight without punches, and it was for 7 minutes. And in this case, David won, or Goliath won, but Goliath wasn't supposed to beat David on this one. It was a phenomenal match. Go to YouTube. There's guys like Jay Cherko, who is a huge, huge wrestling fan, hated wrestling before we started talking about it. So, guys, do yourself a favor. Go watch that wrestling match. A lot of you, just like I told Miss H, you're just going to see butts and faces, okay? But a lot of you are going to see a really, really incredible competition, and I would watch that match over any fight I saw this weekend.
All right, let's do this. I am headed to the Mohegan Sun. So instead of recording from my hotel as I usually do, let's stick around. Let's make this a two-part. We'll make this Friday's show. And we need to get in to Mitrione Nelson. We need to get into plenty of other things. Let's stick around. I want to tell everybody, though, before we go, if you're looking for a car, guys, it doesn't matter if it's new or it's just new to you. There's a new way to buy, and it's with TrueCar. You're at a desktop, www.truecar.com. Chaosradio.com. If you're on a smartphone, and most of you are listening to the show on a smartphone right now, do yourself a favor. Go in the search engine. Type in TrueCar and download the app. Then virtually and transparently, go in and build the kind of car you want. Year, make, model, color, whatever you want to do to that car. Type in your zip code. It will show you what people in your area paid for that exact same car. That becomes your price. And most people are saving $4,000 off of the MSRP. You will be connected with a TrueCar certified dealer. Your obligation, meaning your price, is set. Their obligation of making sure the car is on the lot when you get there, clean and ready to go, is set. Save time, save money, never overpay. For Joel, for Jacob. Little participation today, huh, Jacob?
Yeah, just what was needed.
What was your threat? A grab and dash? What's the line there?
Snap and drag.
Snap and drag. For Joel, for Jacob, I am Chael, and until Friday, you are welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
I'm Spencer Pratt.
And I'm Heidi Pratt with Gunner Pratt.
The Miracle Baby.
That's
and this
right.
is the hashtag Make Spidey Famous Again podcast.
On podcast one.
We will be discussing the hottest action to ever hit the multiverse. Crystals, espresso, hummingbirds, celebrity gossip.
Parenting.
Of course. Make sure to download new episodes every Wednesday on podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, and make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcast.
And keep your hate on somebody else's podcast review. Thank you.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.